Merry Christmas to you both, and thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
Thank you, Chris.
I know this is a busy holiday weekend for you both, so thank you for taking the time out to talk about a very important thing. And the reason I wanted to bring you in is because we're talking about children, and that's Christmas. Christmas is for children, and unfortunately for some children here in our area, it's a pretty sad Christmas and holidays and every day. So Brooke is, you are a champion for kids here in this area. Could you talk a little bit about what you do and talk a little bit about the Knox County Child Advocacy Center?
Absolutely. We are a place where we have a lot of different hats. We do a lot of different things to help children. We start by working with law enforcement and or DCFS or child protection workers to take an initial interview of a child, to talk to a child about either sexual abuse or severe physical abuse, depending on the circumstances. By far, we have far more child sexual abuse cases than we do physical abuse cases. But we talk to those children about what happened to them. We give them a voice. We let them be heard so that they can tell their story, tell what happened to them for a lot of different reasons. First, everyone would think of the law enforcement reason and prosecution yeah. of the perpetrators. But it also does a lot to help heal a child to start by being able to be heard. So then the next step for us is to work on healing those children in a lot of different ways. So we do bring them back for free specialized trauma counseling, and we also make referrals for medical examinations to make sure that children are healthy. It does a lot to help reduce trauma when children know that they're healthy.
That's right. And when I first met the organization, I was working with United Way. And when I first met them, they're like superheroes. You people should have, capes and badges and just you're right. Well, they do have badges, obviously, but you are doing such important work, and it's almost like all these other trivial. It makes all these other things so trivial when we're talking about the safety of a child. And coming up later on today, in our time when we're talking, we'll talk about the holidays and how it can be a kind of a dangerous time for some kids as far as abuse, because they are around people that, family members, as you said, the statistics are most kids who are abused, they know the abuser, right?
Absolutely. It's over 90% of children know their offenders. So it's really important to make sure that everyone's aware of what to watch for, listening to their guts. If something doesn't look right, doesn't feel right, if it seems inappropriate, it's okay to intervene.
Statistics very quickly here in Knox County for 2018. What's the number of cases? Are you able to share generally how many we've had? What is the abuse statistics for our area?
Well, we don't look at disclosures versus non-disclosures separately. So what we can tell you is that there's been probably about 55 kids that have been interviewed at the CAC where an adult has been concerned that there's been abuse. Yeah. And that's only, I'm looking back at half of our fiscal year. So, before that, in fiscal year 17, we go from July through June. So the fiscal year before, we had 120 children. Mm-hmm. That's includes Knox, Warren, and Henderson, but Knox County is by far our largest county.
Absolutely. And it's growing, it seems like. Does it seem to be getting better or?
Well, a lot of children that disclose are not disclosing something that happened yesterday. They're disclosing things that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago. I mean, it's things when they finally feel comfortable enough to be able to come forward. That's when they feel like they can. So we have to wait. We have to be patient with our children because they're not always able to talk about trauma right away. But there may be signs that they've gone through a trauma, and that's what we have to watch for.
Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy holiday weekend to be with us today on Galesburg Live. And Brooke, we were sharing a little bit about the what you do, your organization, but it's also a special time because you're recognizing the people that you work with, the other organizations that make, that you use to protect children in our area.
Absolutely. The CAC, we think of ourselves as the central point of coordination. So what we do is to kind of form a healing circle around the family. And to do that, we can't just do it by ourselves. We work with other professionals. So we work with law enforcement. We work with DCFS or Department of Children and Family Services. They're child protection workers. We work with counselors. We work with prosecutors. And we also work with medical examiners or specialized pediatricians that help children with the medical exams.
Right.
So today we would like to especially highlight our medical, because not many people know that they exist here in Galesburg. We are so fortunate to have a place where children can be seen right here and not to have to drive all the way to Peoria, especially for not only Knox County, but Warren and Henderson County as well, that they can be right here in Galesburg. So I wanted to introduce all of you to Stephanie Johnson, the executive director of the Pediatric Resource Center. She does such good work for our kids. We really appreciate what she does.
Stephanie, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Now, how long have you been with the organization?
Actually, 25 years. It'll be 25 years in February.
Okay.
Long time.
Yeah, that's right. How did you get into this field?
Well, I actually was working for DCFS as a contract worker and saw this interesting position. The program has changed over time. When they first started, they were doing a foster care screen, which is an examination of a child who may have to go into foster care.
Okay.
But then they realized that there was a real need for specialized, well-trained folks who can do medical exams for kids when there's an injury. And so they're basically, what we provide is a child-friendly, specialized medical examination for kids when there's a concern for sexual abuse or physical abuse or significant neglect.
Okay. So before, you said, Brooke was saying that they had to go to Peoria, but now you actually have, you are here in Galesburg.
We are. Many years ago, a few years ago, we scheduled and decided to work with OSF and the Galesburg Clinic to bring our services for sexually abused kids here to Galesburg.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine, you know, someone who's originally from the Galesburg-Knoxville area, I couldn't imagine kids having to drive an hour knowing they were getting this kind of exam. And
yeah.
So I worked, you know, really hard with my, you know, program and the physicians and nurse practitioners that we employ to bring those services here. And so we're here once a week, and it's a variable schedule based on need, but we're present at the Galesburg Clinic. We have a room and some special equipment, and we're able to do an exam that, you know, it does not hurt to have it.
Okay.
Kids, we spend a lot of time explaining to kids and more often to parents, because they're expecting a certain kind of exam, and this is not that exam. Kids do very well for our examinations. It's done on their own time frame. We use distraction items like old school ViewMasters. To help kids be distracted and active during that examination. And so they do very well for
yes.
the exam.
Now, it's not, you are not, you don't work for OSF. You work for University of Illinois.
Exactly.
College of Medicine. Could you describe it?
Yeah. So we're actually housed at the Children's Hospital.
Okay.
So on the campus of OSF.
Okay.
However, we are employed by the College of Medicine. So okay. we provide services to all of the local hospitals.
Right.
So Methodist included, OSF. And we're a regional program. Last year, we provided service to 35 kids from 35 different counties.
Mm-hmm.
And so huge, you know, range of services for kids. This is a very specialized program. There's only one child abuse pediatrician in the area. There's probably maybe 18 or so in the whole state
of Illinois.
Okay. Right. So there's not very many of those. Also, we have a pediatric sexual assault nurse examiner, and there are not very many of those either. So that's why kids have to, you know, it's ideal for them to get connected with our program so we can make sure that they get the kind of exam they need that's really evidence-based and done, you know, exactly, you know, for that particular
sure.
child.
Now, when ages, what are we talking about here?
We serve kids from birth to 18. However, our average age for sexual abuse cases is 8 years of age. So very young. And then on the physical abuse side, it's even younger. For physical abuse, most of our patients are under 2. We see a lot of abusive head trauma.
Oh, Stephanie.
I know. It's an awful thing. And it is, we really encourage parents to talk with each other and with their caregivers about a crying plan. You know, what will you do if kids cry, and how are you going to respond to that? You know, kids have never really died from crying. And so just leaving them, and you're really creating a crying plan and agreement between you know, adults to make sure that prevention happens and, you know, seek out help.
Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg Live. You both have a very busy holiday weekend planned. Are you going out of town or are you staying in town? What do you think?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Okay, yes, that's right. Stephanie, I want to continue our conversation. We talked about how you got into this, and one comment you made, you wanted to make sure that this service you came back to your hometown. Mm-hmm. You're from this area. Mm-hmm. You wanted to make sure that this was here in this area to take care of children here.
I did. When I had the opportunity within my program to impact, you know, the area of service, we really talked about the fact that Galesburg was a great place. For us to expand those services for kids. So we have some kids that, you know, they come from various counties to Galesburg, you know, for this particular service. So it cuts their drive down. They're not having to travel 2 hours to PRC in Peoria.
How did you get into this? How did you, I mean, you, it's a calling, really. I mean,
It is, to some extent. I mean, it is, you know, there was a job available, but what's great about this particular position and the role that I've been able to play in it is I've been able to tailor the services to what we see as the need.
Yeah.
So, you know, many years ago, we were just providing, you know, services to kids who were coming into foster care. And now, you know, we prevent kids from having to go into foster care. You know, if a child has an injury that is actually an accident, you know, it's wonderful to be able to share to the family and those involved partners that this is an accident. There's no concern here. And, you know, the kid gets to experience their holiday with their family.
That's right.
If it is abuse, then, you know, DCFS and law enforcement, they're involved in, you know, making sure those kids are safe. And so, you know, it is a difficult job, but it's important.
That's right. And you are the medical side of it, mm-hmm. where kids come to you or you see children and give them an examination to see, first of all, if there was abuse, what type of abuse, injuries, and all that?
Well, part of it is really about assuring their health. So that's the main piece. So we're looking for, you know, is there injury? So it isn't, you know, many exams are normal. And so that's a surprise to people, but that is the truth. Even with witnessed abuse, and a sexual abuse exam can be normal. That's the way your body's made and all of that. But that is the case. Mm. And so for us, it's really making sure that they're healthy. So maybe we need to do sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment. Maybe we need to, provide education about prevention for them. But really it's, you know, it's about reassuring them about the health status of their body.
Okay. Go ahead, Brooke, you were going to say something.
Well,
you were
gonna... like we talked about earlier, I mean, a lot of their patients don't disclose right away.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're making referral to PRC, that child may have disclosed 3 years ago, but they still need to make sure that they're okay. Maybe they have an STI and they had no idea
that's what it was. Yeah.
A lot of people don't go to a doctor on a regular basis. They don't have a family physician they see every year. And if that's the case and you have a 15-year-old and they don't know what's going on with their body, but they know something's wrong and they disclose, they know something happened, they're finally ready to disclose, they then can refer on to medical and say, hey, you have the opportunity to get this treated and find out what's going on with you. And maybe the exam is perfectly normal. We want a normal exam for those kids. We want them to, their bodies at least, to have healed from whatever trauma happened to them. But, I mean, usually, what is it, 7 days? Even with a pretty nasty, mark originally, it will heal. Your body will heal itself very quickly. So that's why, I mean, when you have a urgent need, you know, something, an assault has happened and you want to collect evidence on that, you go right away to make sure that you get that kit done because the evidence will be gone. So, you know, when we have those acute cases, they go to a place to have an acute exam done. But if we have people who, you know, the time has gone by, they are going to have a perfectly normal exam and that's okay. But now it's time to reassure that their health is okay. And ACEs studies or adverse childhood experiences studies show that helps children to know that their bodies are healed and that they're actually physically okay, then they can work on helping heal their mind.
Oh, Brooke Chesney is the executive director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladin's Children's Center, and Stephanie Johnson, executive director of the Pediatric Resource Center, serving meeting the needs of abused and neglected children right here in the Galesburg area, out at OSF and the Galesburg Clinic. So, how do we know when a child is being abused? We're getting back into some basic things, but here we are, from the medical side of it. What are some things that we need to be looking for? A child in our world, how do we notice? What are things that we need to be looking for?
Really, it's about what they say. So as Brooke shared, many times the examination is normal. And so really the important part, even in the medical, piece, is the child's history and what the information they've provided to our medical providers or to Brooke at the Child Advocacy Center. Mm-hmm. That's the key thing, is really to give kids the opportunity to share. And honestly, I think there's a lot of work that we can do as parents to make sure that we're, providing our children with the education they need to help prevent abuse. Yeah. So using proper names, correct names for body parts. That's really important for
really,
kids.
Really, why is that?
Well, if someone said he touched my chicken, and that's the name that you use for one of your body parts that abuse may be occurring, then it does, okay, so he touched your stuffed chicken, which might be a stuffed toy. But if they use the correct term and they know what the real words are, then, the disclosures are, you have a better chance to help kids and to give them the services that they need.
So why do we use those wrong words? Why do we do that? I mean, I know I know what you're talking about as a parent.
A comfort thing.
Whatever, Willie.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's a comfort thing. I mean, people don't feel comfortable talking about
totally
their body parts.
Yes,
but, to some extent, you want to know what they're talking about. We had one where, daddy touched my cookie. Well, okay, so what? We'll get you another cookie. It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what she called her private part.
Right.
So that makes it really hard to understand what's going on and to stop the abuse.
Yeah.
The other thing to watch for, too, though, not only what the child has to say, but it's how they're acting.
Yeah.
If you have no reason to believe that your child should be having behavioral problems or acting up or, acting differently all of a sudden. So if they're usually very quiet and all of a sudden they're acting out, or they're very loud and, spirited, and suddenly they're introverted, it's time to have a conversation. Now, is something going to be disclosed in that first conversation? Maybe, maybe not. But opening up that line of communication, keeping that line of communication open, taking them to a counselor. Maybe they'll be able to open up with a counselor over time. Mm-hmm. But letting them know that it's safe to talk about it is always the first way to start. But behavior is often what you see before you even get to that conversation.
And Brooke, you had said that, many people don't say anything until maybe sometime later. So, boy, the courage that it must take to go to this examination.
Absolutely.
After so much time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine the state of these children when they come to you.
Well, we're very good at doing our job.
Absolutely.
Which is amazing.
Where we get to. You're a child. I mean, it's child abuse pediatrician.
Right. Child abuse pediatrics. So we have coordinators who are assigned to, a particular child. They follow that child, that child's services throughout their entire time at the Pediatric Resource Center and beyond. And so they are very well trained in, child development and what the appropriate distraction item might be.
Yes.
I think the most powerful thing that we do for kids, we give them the ability to say no or not right now. And so they're their boss while they're in our examination. And they provide, they can let us know when and how the exam should happen. They get to play with our colposcope, which is basically a light that we use to document their examination. And they play with that. They learn how it works. They can see their fingerprints. And they're very much in control of the pace and the timing of the examination. Some kids come in and they want to get that part of the exam done right away. Other kids want to go ahead and do the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, belly checks that are part of a regular examination. Every kid that comes to us, as long as they will allow it, will get a medical exam from head to toe. And that's just one other part of it.
Again, thank you so much for being a part of Galesburg Live today. This goes very fast, and it's hard to believe our time is getting ready to wrap up. But I wanted to get to, I kind of wanted to go through the whole process, really, with I've noticed some behaviors with a child in my world that, and I'm concerned that somebody may be hurting them. What's my next step?
Well, if you've talked to a child to the extent that they have said something has happened, okay, or you've actually witnessed something happening, then that's the point where you either call law enforcement. Law enforcement's always a good option.
Yes.
Make a report with them, and they can always refer the case to us so that a child wouldn't have to just talk to a police officer with a gun on his hip in an uncomfortable police environment. That's what we do. They would come to us in our comforting, welcoming place, and then they would talk to either myself or one of our other interviewers to make sure that we find out what happened. So if it's something that you've actually witnessed or something you've seen or heard from the child, then that's the time to contact law enforcement. Or if it's a caregiver or a household member, so somebody who either lives in the household or cares for that particular child, like a babysitter or something, then you can also call DCFS hotline and make a hotline report. If you only contact law enforcement and it's also a DCFS case, they will hotline it. They are mandated reporters.
I see.
As are we. So if it gets to us and it hasn't been called in, we would make sure to bring in DCFS when that's necessary. So then after the interview, if the child is brought to us and we do an interview, mm-hmm, and the child does make a disclosure that something has happened, then after that, one of our referral options then is to refer to PRC. And we would do that as long as the family is okay with that. We only make referrals when the family wants that, but we certainly encourage that to make sure the child knows that they're healthy. So then we would call PRC and make the referral. And then PRC takes it from there and they contact the family. And
I see. And then you said it. You take over, Stephanie. And
right. We determine as much as we can when the last, time this might have occurred happened. And then we make a medical plan, that's individualized for each child. That may be that you can come to Galesburg for that medical exam, but it may also be that the time frame is important that you actually either go to the emergency department or you come to us in Peoria.
I see.
So it's really a individualized medical plan for each child that is referred to us.
And sometimes it is kind of an emergency and you have to move quickly.
Yes, that's true.
In what instance would
an incident that would have happened, under 96 hours is something that there may be, DNA that needs to be collected or things like that. And so in those instances, it's important to get to the emergency department. There is a law change that is in the works and will be effective soon that will allow those kids to actually come to our location as well. But that's not the case right now. So you would go to the emergency department for an emergent medical examination. We provide follow-up services to kids that go to the emergency department. And so they would also then come our way either in Galesburg or at Peoria.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Brooke Chesney, Executive Director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladins Children's Center, and Stephanie Johnson, the Executive Director of the Pediatric Resource Center at OSF in Peoria, but also at OSF here in Galesburg. Meeting the needs of abused and neglected children in our area. Holiday time, I had asked you off the air if you see an uptick of abuse cases around the holiday time, and it seems that there is.
There can be.
There can be.
There's certainly more of an opportunity when households are busy. If you have a lot of people over for Christmas, at various times, Christmas kind of spans several days in some families. You have friends over one day, you have one side of the family over one day, you have another side of the family over one day, or you have a big open house at a facility where you all meet for a reception or something. Mm-hmm. Families celebrate in different ways, but if you have a household full of people, it leans to the opportunity of a predator to then find a child who's not being watched, because you can't be everywhere at once. As a parent, right, you can do the best you can do to educate your child and to make sure that you're watching them, but you can't be there every single second.
And you said that most abuse happens with someone that the child knows.
Absolutely.
And obviously, if you've got family there, they can know them. Also, the stress of the holidays, too. I think maybe as a parent, you can have kind of a short fuse. and things can happen. Right.
Well, and on the physical abuse side, that's absolutely true. So, you know, you can imagine, you know, a little financial stress. You've got some additional expenses that you're, you know, dealing with. You know, maybe you've lost your job or, you know, those things, additional family stress and, you know, having someone who maybe doesn't care for your child all the time. Maybe mom's busy and someone else is caring for that young baby. Sometimes, you know, kids are harmed in those situations. And, you know, it's really important for family members to talk about what to do with a crying baby.
Yeah.
Abusive head trauma occurs. It is very, very detrimental to children. A quarter of kids who have abusive head trauma die. The remaining ones, many of them have neurological deficits. So prevention of, you know, abusive head trauma is just very, very important. And I would encourage folks to, you know, go to our website, which is pediatricresourcecenter.com, and look at the crying plan and talk about crying for, you know, as something that happens in your family. Kids cry. That is normal for that to happen.
Yeah.
But your response to the crying is where the problem lies. And so making sure that you know, are not caring for, you know, your child if you're very stressed out, or if your babysitter says, I am having a terrible, terrible day, and, you know, listen to them. If there's a way for you to, you know, go and pick up your baby, please do that. Because prevention is really very important for abusive head trauma.
Absolutely. Boy, when you talk about the holidays, you're bringing generations of abuse that has been shoved under a rug and not talked about. My gosh, the mess that this is. I mean, how do you sift through all that? What do you recommend to someone who is, you know, you feel like, well, it's family, we have to be together for Christmas, but
Well, and sometimes there's a known abuser that's either brought up in conversation at those holiday things. It makes the child feel awful. I mean, it's really important to watch out for suicide, of course, at this time of year as well, which that's been on the rise with children again. It's always an issue we deal with at the holidays, is watching for which of our kids are having those severe acute issues. So we try to keep an eye on them, and we call families, we check on them. We keep bringing our kids in for counseling and try to keep getting them in. You know, they have to be willing to come. We can't make them come, but we do provide transportation even for some of them to make sure that they can get here. So it's watching, it's listening and watching and making sure that you're in tune to what's going on with your kids and to have that open line of communication. If something's not right, if you're not feeling right, if you're not okay, come talk to me.
Absolutely. I want to end this on a positive, because and I think the positive is that you guys are there.
Absolutely. We have a whole team of people here to help. If you're dealing with a situation where your child has talked to you, stay very, very calm. The child is most concerned about upsetting the family dynamics, the parents, making things change. They're very worried about change. So just try to stay calm. Handle it, you know, by talking to law enforcement. You can do that calmly. You can do that by saying, you know, matter of fact, this is what my child has told me. Let's look into this. Let's find out what to do. And there's a whole team of professionals waiting to help. And we have great people here to do that. PRC is one of them. We also have, you know, of course, all of our law enforcement in this area, as well as the prosecutor's office, the state's attorney's office in all three counties. As well as, you know, our Monarch trauma counselors, they do a lot. And DCFS, they're there to help protect children. So call in the professionals when you need something. Yeah. But we are so fortunate to have a great team of people.
Yes, you are.
There is healing. These kids do heal. Their bodies heal on her side of things.
Yes.
And if they come to counseling, 98% of them go on to do very, very well.
Hey, you know,
and
what?
Not become perpetrators, which is what everybody thinks these kids turn into. They go through counseling and they learn boundaries and they learn how to deal with life.
Yeah.
98% of them turn out to be okay. They may have triggers, they may have some issues, but they're okay.
Yeah.
So there's healing and there's hope.
Yes. Healing and hope.
Always at the
wonderful.
End.
Superheroes, all of you. You really are. You're amazing. And your website, Stephanie, you had mentioned that. You know, they should go to your website to check out the information about just what you do. And what is that again?
So it's pediatricresourcecenter.org.
Okay.
And you can go there. You can get the crying plan information. You can learn about what is a child abuse pediatrician. How is that person different than a regular pediatrician.
That's right.
And really learn about the services. And, you know, it talks a little bit about, I think there's a few videos on there that, you know, explains how this exam happens.
Yes.
And really is helpful to families when they are, you know, faced with this kind of situation.
Okay. And Brooke, thank you so much for being in here as well. And if people need to get in touch with you and your organization.
Absolutely. Our email or our website is www.paladincac.org. And then certainly we don't take direct referrals. They have to go through law enforcement or DCFS. But if you already have a child that's involved with us or if you have any questions, our number is 344-8416. You're welcome to call.
Stephanie Johnson, Executive Director of the Pediatric Resource Center. Thank you so much for being with us today. Brooke Chesney, Executive Director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladins Children's Center. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for what you do and have a great rest of your holiday weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you, you too.